I don't know if it was that or the two Jaeger bombs and the six pints of cider on a sunny day when we ate fuck all.
Two Jaeger bombs.
Oh. Mate, you're a PhD student. I'm not. I can't deal with this stuff anymore. And you're a young farmer to boot, so I can't deal with this. I'm a parent now. I'm a responsible adult.
You're a responsible adult pushing someone down the road in the shopping trolley.
And that was it. So that was full time. The Mariners are into the playoff final for the second time in a year. The third time they're going to Wembley in a year. You tell yourself 30 years ago that was going to happen. Incredible stuff. Now, since Henry's found out I can do this over a phone, he hasn't bothered to come from Reading. So he's on the phone still probably.
Hello. I'm too poor now. Wembley twice in 8 days is going to ruin my bank account.
Seriously.
We're over the phone.
Yeah, I'm having to try and extend my bank account. My credit card isn't here because it got lost a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still waiting for it to come back.
That's why I didn't get any drinks in on Saturday then.
I think you'll find I got two rounds in. I was the only one that did a twofer. But we did try and keep hydrated, but I don't think Jaeger bombs and apple cider was exactly the way to do it on that day.
I had 2 litres of water during the game and I was still dehydrated. It was bloody boiling.
Well, I sensibly bought a bottle of water and then we rather inconsiderately decided to score. And I lost it all because they didn't let me keep the top. So I looked, I'd obviously jumping up and down. I look at my bottle of water. Oh, brilliant. But actually, shall we start with that story then? Because I found that quite amusing. And you were
saying the bottle of water story.
Do you want to say?
I don't have a problem with this. Some Braintree fans were moaning about it, but I've got no problem with
is
it.
Is it like some, all of them?
Well, come on, let's not be harsh, but.
Go on, you tell the story because people might not have heard.
Okay, so was it just at the start of the second half, I believe? Because we were a little bit further away from the goal, so we didn't really see it at the time because we were towards the corner near where the food was. And apparently, when the Braintree keeper got to the goal for the second half and put his bottle of water down, a Town fan asked the steward to pick it up for him and claimed that it was his bottle of water, which... The obviously inexperienced steward obliged, and the Town fan got the bottle of water, emptied it, and chucked it back in the goal. Which I think is hilarious.
That's quick thinking. I mean, if the keeper isn't quick-witted enough to then go, hang on a minute, I don't have a bottle of water, I'll do what Podge did and just decide to jump over the fence, go and buy one, or go for a slash.
Yeah, £1.50 in his sock. Yeah.
Well, that's where you keep your subs, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, it wouldn't take a lot for him to get another bottle of water from the sideline, would it? So
no.
And Alex very smoothly there, not putting his phone on silent. Well done, Alex.
Oh, did you hear it?
I heard that. Yeah,
that was my mum. just took a picture of a random bridge. I don't know what it is. But yeah, and also about Podge nipping off for a slash halfway through the extra time was quite amusing.
No, it was just before extra time started, I thought.
Oh,
it was.
Oh, was it? I don't know.
Yeah, from my memory, it was. It literally just topped the barrier and any Town fan that had popped for a piss. It's just, look up and there's Podge just having a lads next to him. So,
it's a
proper
slight,
football. Proper
if,
football.
If there were as half as wankered as some of the guys that I saw there, I think they could be quite worried if Podge had turned up halfway between them going, aren't you meant to be on the pitch?
But I mean one non-football related thing from the game on Sunday probably is after the game when the Town fans went on the pitch, and two things happened that sort of caught my attention. One was that Braintree fan with the loudspeaker.
I don't like that in so many ways. I didn't like that fan unity. He was loving it too much.
It was slightly awkward, but I mean it was well mannered nonetheless. So he was just up on some people's shoulders starting a load of Town chants.
But I did want to see someone clothesline him while he was on someone's shoulders. But that was just my aggressiveness coming out, I assume.
Yeah, and then the second joyous thing was probably Disley having his Humberside interview, which, if you haven't heard, was on Monday Night Sports Talk right at the end.
Do you know what? I haven't.
If you go on iPlayer, if you've not heard it. But it was absolutely brilliant.
Was this the Ginger Perlow chant behind it?
All sorts of chants, everything. And then they got Disley to start a chant, and Disley was starting chants on the radio, and it's brilliant.
I got a handshake or a hug off John Fenty when I wasn't even aware. I felt slightly uncomfortable about that.
No, you weren't even on the pitch either.
No, I was a responsible adult because I've got a child to take care of. I can't be getting a record.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone that went on the pitch will have issues with that.
I hope not. But what an incredible day.
Brilliant, wasn't it? I mean, and I was at the first leg on Thursday night, and I was absolutely dejected, to be honest with you. I couldn't see as a cat in hell's way of scoring against them, let alone twice. So I sort of got roped into it because I was the only one on the Friday that could go to the shop and buy tickets.
Thank you for that.
And I'm bloody glad I did, to be honest, because second half onwards, it was an absolute joy, really.
And I've got to admit, I'm quite happy to, if you imagine everyone here is on an imaginary table or sat at your seat at Blundell Park, everyone should raise their hand now if they doubted it. With 70 minutes gone, there wasn't much going. Yeah,
I mean, even at half-time of the game, I was sort of, we were on top and we were the better side, but I just couldn't see how we were going to score against them, to be honest.
We were showing a lot more desire, a lot more, annoying to say, a lot more effort. We were getting a lot more of the second balls and we were stretching them wider.
Yeah, I don't know if it's effort, and I don't ever question effort under Hurst, but I think there was a bit more zip in it, wasn't there? There was a bit more tempo there. And
it was just,
all the balls were dropping our way, really, which helped. It was complete opposite of Thursday, really.
It was pretty incredible for that. And then who would have thunk, if any of you have Marcus Marshall as your superhero of the day, you thought...
Game changer for me. Yeah, absolute game changer.
Some guy came to me in the spoon before and went, Marcus Marshall's going to be one that changes this. I'd have probably strung him up around him committed. But yeah, that was an incredible performance.
Well, because, I mean, I've not seen him play since before Christmas, I don't think. No. I didn't get to many of the early round trophy games, so...
I've not seen
him for ages. But to be honest, that's the only time he's been playing this season.
Yeah, his performance was very reminiscent of a game that he played in the FA Trophy against Welling before they got promoted, and we won that one.
Yeah, you were saying this at the game, weren't you?
He ran the show then as well. He was very direct, very quick. And just because they didn't have the sort of pace, so they were scared of him. And he was the only one that really took it on, wasn't he?
Exactly. And he was that bit of pace, and he was running at them and getting behind the defenders that we needed. And the first thing he did was win a corner doing that, which we won the penalty from.
Yeah, absolutely. Like literally 30 seconds after he appeared.
And then he also won the free kick that Bogle scored the header from.
Yep.
But so he was causing them all kinds of hassle.
But there was someone just as influential on our team as well, but he was playing for Braintree, Mark Phillips. Is it Mark? Yeah, Mark Phillips is his name, wasn't he? He said he got sent.
The guy that got sent off.
And gave away the penalty.
There was a crowd of bodies because we were right down at the front.
I thought it was handball.
Once there was a few people sort of mingling in the box, it was really hard for us to see what's going on. And just saw the ref point to the spot. And looking on the videos, it did look like a shirt pull.
Yeah, it was so stupid as well, isn't it? If he'd have looked around and seen the keeper there,
The weird thing is with them, like, those kind of things don't always get given.
No.
Our luck to get these things given in a big game.
Because it's our time, that's why. We're getting the luck now.
Yeah, well, finally. and then the same, similar sort of viewpoint for us for the second yellow. Couldn't really see it because it was right across the other side of the pitch.
It just looked
clumsy,
didn't it? It just looked clumsy, like the first almost identical challenges. If you're going to finally stretch the defence, because if I remember rightly, in the first leg as well, both their centre halves were on yellows, weren't they, for a lot of the game? Or am I wrong?
I can't remember, to be perfectly honest. I think they were.
But that directness, that sort of getting at them, was where we got them.
Yeah, and that was where Bogle was excellent, particularly in the second half onwards, sort of. We stopped feeding the ball into his chest and sort of his waist with his back to goal. And especially when Marshall came on and we went back to 4-4-2 after 4-3-3 was all right, but it wasn't perfect.
That little Megs, that little nutmeg he did in front of us. Yeah, I was loving that.
And so he was running at them with pace, and he looked incredibly dangerous. He probably could have had 2 or 3 goals. I mean, if it wasn't for what was apparently a mega save when the keeper tipped it onto the post right at the end of normal time, which looked to me like the keeper didn't even get a touch on it. So yeah, it must have been real fine margins for that one.
It was. Are you not as we did talk about this? Were you surprised as I was that it was that late that we got the equaliser?
Well, I did feel that. Well, because there wasn't the scoreboard there, so we didn't really know exactly what the time was.
Scoreboard? There wasn't even a clock.
No, and I didn't register on my phone, sort of, well, because my battery was really low at that point as well, what time we kicked off. So I couldn't really keep pace with it. But the second half did seem to fly, and then sort of after the penalty as well, just flew instantly, and all of a sudden we were in extra time.
Yeah, it was incredible stuff.
And I did have a concern at the end of full time that was the momentum gone in a way. I was a bit concerned that we wouldn't pick it back up, and we were a bit slow to start the beginning of extra time, and I thought, oh, is it going to come? And then eventually in the second half it did, and we sort it out.
But there we go, it was done, and that was it. It was brilliant, and a lot of questions were answered. He was tactically, he got it. 4-3-3 was more aggressive. He made the right substitutions. Christ knows where he got Marcus Marshall from as an idea, but it worked brilliantly.
It worked perfectly.
Yeah.
And he showed all the emotion in the world. He was probably one of the happiest people in the stadium. But
he's been watching that Klopp YouTube video, hasn't he? He got that right. That fist bump was perfect.
Yeah, and I think my highlight of that video is there. When he legs it like 50 yards to go and out get the town fans off the pitch. So, yeah, and I mean, I was just before we started this, Matt Dean posted a Facebook video interviewing Hurst at Wembley.
And is he back there again, is he? Because Disney and Tate were there yesterday.
Well, because it's the bloody FA Trophy.
Oh, right, I thought they were there for the playoff one as well.
It was yesterday, but Matt Dean posted this video recently, I think, on Facebook. And Hurst was saying, you know, got quite emotional about it, really, you know. Knows the job in hand, and knows that if he does win it, even the Hurst detractors, he'll probably go down as a bit of a legend, really, as will most of the players that, if they pull it off, will do as well.
Yeah, I think we had a very good conversation around it in the pub, and I think we may have said it on here before, is that the concern is that he was never naturally a natural winner, or never comes across like that anyway. When were you getting to a point where, like in 2009, 2010, we were going to get relegated? I would have had him here in a shot now, if I know what he's like now. I would have him in straight away. He's a guy to steady a ship, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think that's why he's a popular choice for a lot of, well, rumoured to be for a lot of sort of struggling-ish League Two sides, because you know that he's going to get in a bunch of hard-working players. They're all going to play for him. And he'll do you a decent job there. And I think he sort of comes across a bit dour sometimes just in the media, just because he's trying to keep things in house, really. I don't have a doubt that when he's talking to his players, that he's not motivating them or inspirational. Because, I mean, it's been clear over the last few years that, I mean, most of the players play their arses off for him, and I think that was a big decision in why a lot of them re-signed last summer.
Yeah, I think a lot of them like it. I'm probably not entirely on board with the idea that he's always the motivational and inspirational one, but sometimes you don't need that. And we now go into to Sunday. We were working it out, sadly, now from a load of tweets trying to work out how many we've sold. We're looking at probably just shy of 10,000 so far. This is on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it was 7,000 as of Monday night, and I was hoping this morning, based on that if we got to 10,000 after tonight, and I think we'd be doing really well.
Yeah,
and I think we're probably on track for that.
And we might, Forest Green, this is, we'll talk about it now. So the idea that we play these such small teams, when you are like this, and if you're anything like us, you're just talking about it all the time or looking at about it all the time, and you go on the opposition's forum, or you just look for anything from them on social media, and there's nothing.
No, it's the same as the Braintree game, really.
It's exactly the same.
getting built up for the Braintree game, and you just sort of think, oh, what are the other team thinking? And there's a four-post thread. It's high.
Yeah.
But there's a bit more activity on the Forest Green Forum, to be fair.
Yeah, slightly. They've got six, I think. But it'll be just nice to have something where we can... It's not going to change the second you go into League Two if we do, touch wood. But it'll be nice to have someone to talk to apart from a guy called Bill. He might as well just put his phone number up on the forum so we can all ring him and have a chat.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm reluctant to get into that kind of discussion until we sort of get the job done.
All right, Mother Teresa.
I think it's going to be a very close game on Sunday.
Yeah, it will be. We've got the better record against them this season. They drew at home, won away at them. Yeah, very impressive performance.
We got probably our best away win at their place sort of a couple of months ago, didn't we?
And the I don't know about you. We haven't discussed it. Do you even want to get into an idea of team selection? Because I have no idea anymore.
Yeah, I've had a little thought about this myself. I think,
of course. Go on, Jose.
I think the 4-3-3 worked well as a counter to Braintree specific threats, but I would go back to 4-4-2 for Wembley. I think with the bigger pitch, I'd want four in the middle and sort of two wide players on each side, really, both for support going forward and in defence. And I think that's especially the case when they've got a couple of decent wingers, especially in Freer. I think if we went 4-3-3 against Forest Green on a big pitch, I think the fullbacks would become quite exposed. Yeah. So I'd go back to 4-4-2, yeah, basically.
I think so. I'd probably want Monkey in.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd want Monkhouse for about 55 minutes and then bring Marshall on from the bench. I think that's when you get the most out of him. Sort of big pitch, tiring team, and then you bring on the guy with bags of pace and energy just to run at them for half an hour.
You imagine him and Pittenham, either wing, when their legs have gone.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of Pittman on the wing to start with, sort of last season when he first got to the club. We've not really seen it much since.
You never know now.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
You never know now. He's got Marcus out of the... I don't know where he was, out of Siberia, I assume, because he hasn't been anywhere near our team for a while.
And I do pray it's a a two-trick pony rather than a one-trick pony, and he turns up on Sunday as well and repeats what he did.
He'll be chomping it a bit now, won't he?
Yeah, I hope so. I really do, because he really did put in a terrific performance on Sunday. And I did see a little bit of discussion online about sort of who to play in the midfield, and a lot of people still clamouring for Clay. But my opinion over the two legs, I think, especially on Sunday, Clay gave the ball away a lot. I think we were a better team after he went off and Arnold came on. And I don't think it was just a case of us changing his shape. I think that was also a case of Clay was spraying a lot of wayward passes around. And I think Nolan was back to his best on Sunday, where he had a bit of an off day on Thursday. I would go Disley and Nolan.
The problem as well, you're looking at it, is that Clay, his best days for us when it was this season were in January and in December. They're not now. And
no,
whatever.
And Nolan, did Nolan win Young Player of the Year?
Yes, Bogle maybe. That's awful.
Oh, it might have been Bogle, but he was certainly nominated at least, wasn't he?
Yeah, he'd have been my nomination for it.
And considering he's only really been at the club for a few months, I think that speaks volumes about how he's played, really. So for me, it'd be midfield four of Arnold, Disley, Nolan, and Monkhouse for a bit, and then switch in with Marshall. That'd be it. Bogle and Podge up front. I don't think that's under any doubt anymore. Who would you go? Who would you back for, Alex?
Are you eating like a pack of Quakers or something over there?
Why is there a bit of rustling? Because I'm not. The microphone's battering around a bit, but I'll try and keep it steady.
It's all right. You sound like the old bird lady out of Home Alone 2 with rustling a little seed bag or something.
Right. No, it's this bloody microphone.
I'm going, I think you're probably spot on. I don't think we're too far apart from one another. Pearson maybe over Toto, but I think because of someone like Parkin and stuff up front a little bit stronger and less likely to make that mistake.
Yeah, I mean, they've not been playing. I'd be surprised if Parkin started on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. I was nowhere near the microphone then when I said yeah. But
I still heard you, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, I don't know. I really have no idea. Whatever you pick out of the three centre-backs, you'll be fine. I'm quietly confident. I think we'll go... I didn't like to do it. My prediction I didn't think was too far off, actually. It was going to be tight.
Just before we go on to predictions, who do you have as your fullbacks?
Tate and East.
Tate is a lock for right back, isn't he?
Yeah, not East, sorry. Horwood, probably.
No, I'd go Robertson because I think he had a very good game on Sunday.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think he's probably earned his spot for next week, especially based on last year's final as well. When he was injured, he put in a great shift.
That's true. I think it's very much... I don't think whoever you pick, if you pick Toto or Pearson, or if you picked Horwood or Robertson, you're not losing that much. It's who you'd prefer personality-wise, I think, is where it comes down to on a day like Sunday. It's like their mental attributes as well as not...
Yeah, I do think that does have a role to play in it. I mean, players like Tate and Monkhouse have won at Wembley recently in the conference playoff finals. I do think that those are the kind of players that you want in your team, at least to start with anyway, before you sort of switch it up.
Yeah, and my hope is that Vegan Rovers are entirely overawed by the situation. We look like we might outnumber them 5-1, which does help.
I don't think it'll be 5-1. Predictions for attendances, I think probably 15,000. I'm hoping for 15,000 from town, which is more than we took last year for some reason.
Yeah, it is.
But the way that they've done the big day out tickets means that we've got more blocks in the lower tier to fill before we've filled the lower tier. And I always think that that's got to be the target to sort of fill the lower tier.
Yeah.
I think if we get 15,000, we've more or less done. So that'd be my aim.
It's all very nice playing at Wembley, but there's something sad about playing in it when it's half full or even the upper tier isn't open. We're looking.
Yeah, it's very weird because it's almost three stadiums in one, the way the tiers are Wembley. So, I mean, if you fill one of the tiers, I mean, it still sort of generates a hell of a noise.
Oh, well, you look at us last year, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think if we do that and we get a similar atmosphere to last year, I think it really could push us on, especially with how we won the semi-final, I think has given us a ton of momentum again.
Yes.
Yes. What about your... And I think Forest Green Rovers will probably take 7,000 or 8,000.
I'd be impressed with that. 5,000.
5,000 for them. What about for us?
Well, I said 18,000 on our little WhatsApp group and I got derided. So I was probably being a bit overly confident. I'm thinking 16. Just because
16.
How quickly tickets have been bought now and anything like me, I'm waiting. I haven't bought my ticket yet, but I don't want to be sat in the corner.
I mean, this is stating the obvious, but it really does depend on how ticket sales drop off.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping they don't for a bit anyway.
Well, I think we'll, whatever it'll be, we'll outnumber them, we'll outsing them. And it's an incredible day. And I think this will be the last time we have to play non-league football.
That's a bold statement and I'm not going to jinx it.
Are you really? You're not even going to predict? I'm going 3-0.
No. I went in to Sunday with zero predictions and zero expectations and it worked out wonderfully.
We certainly had expectations. It was that this is going to be awful. Let's try and drink ourselves to death before the game kicks off.
Yeah, and it worked a treat. So I'm gonna go for a similar approach for Sunday and hope for the best.
So this is something because this is controversial for you. You don't like taking a Harry Haddock to a football game, do you?
No, they're bloody awkward. they're awkward to hold and carry around. And when you sat down or stood up and you're not sort of waving it around in the air, it's just kind of there at your feet and just gets in the way, really. So I stopped taking mine to games after about Cheltenham.
But you're going to take yours this time round, aren't you?
I'll think about it.
You've got to. Come on.
I'll think about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been wearing over Operation Promotion Stash instead of taking Harry. So
you've got to take it, at least if not give it to a kid. But there is something very sad about a man who is very upset about losing the game while holding a giant inflatable fish.
I know. It just sort of adds to the sort of sadness of it all, really,
especially,
doesn't it?
Especially when we're sat on the tube. So,
it would be nice for Operation Promotion to get signed off with success in front of a ton of people that have contributed to it. And it'd be even sweeter if the guy that we helped to pay for scored the winner.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm hoping for, I'm quietly hoping that.
For a Hooven to score.
Yeah, Hooven to score, no. So yeah, I quietly hope that if we do win, then it's a Bogle winner. I think that'd just be a perfect end to it.
I'm not wanting one, mate. I'm wanting three. You'll be glad you're not sat near me. I'll be upset. I wouldn't call me after the game if we lose.
I was not very well on the day of the playoff final last year, and I was in a horrific mood by the time I was going home. It doesn't make it worse because my train route, not only was it on the same line as the Bristol Rovers fans get,
same
back to Reading.
I was on a train that was heading to Bristol as well.
Yeah, to and from Bristol. So I got on the train and it was full of Bristol Rovers fans. And then when you get back to Paddington, it was full of bloody Bristol Rovers fans.
I had them following
this year,
me
out. This year it's a load of Forest Green, well, not as many Forest Green Rovers fans on the same bloody line.
Let's talk about hellish train journeys. Let's talk about ours on the way back from Braintree when we had
let's not bore the poor people, but basically it involved about a 2-hour delay and a bus to Stansted Airport.
I've never been there.
That sums it up.
I think it was quite a nice airport. If you're looking at flying out from anywhere, it's quite a nice one to consider.
Yeah, I flew out of there a couple of weeks ago. It was lovely, so... Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, so I want to get, if we're getting close to room wrapping up, I want to do a bit of quick public service announcements, I guess. So there are no engineering works expected on the Jubilee Metropolitan lines over Sunday, because unfortunately I know that sort of rubbish. They should be fine.
And if you are coming in from the west into Paddington, there's no Bakerloo line that stops at Paddington, so you have to go circle to Baker Street and up.
Yeah, and if you're at Baker Street, the one line to what line do we get? We get the Metropolitan. Don't get the Jubilee
because it takes bloody half an hour longer.
Yeah, it stops at every station. The Metropolitan is only one stop before Wembley, so get that one. There is, if you're travelling down from Grimsby, the A46, there is a show at Newark.
Nottinghamshire shows on at Newark, isn't it?
Yeah, so if you're getting on there for the A1,
or if
maybe
you're
best avoid it.
If you're getting the train from Newark as well, sort of give yourself plenty of time.
Yeah, just, and that's probably, I thought that was quite a good service announcement from us.
Yeah, park at Stanmore, get there early, park near the exit, that's about it.
Yeah, that's a good one. Maybe, I've heard of people parking towards like Amersham Way, but I'm not exactly sure where, so don't use that as a tip. If you're coming from my neck of the woods down south, there's no real railway line problems between... from my way, Woking up to London. Oh. And we haven't even organised our plans, but I'm assuming we're getting hammered somewhere on the way.
I'll have to see what I'm doing. I've also have to check the bloody bank account.
That's true. And we've also got, this is a different game from usual because we have family in tow, don't we? Every big game is like, great, my dad's here, I've got to behave now. Hello, father.
No, my dad will be just in there, isn't he? It won't be an issue. only about three people in the world are going to get what you just did there, Alex. That is the most clicky little joke ever.
My dad has a tendency to stutter when he gets really overexcited.
Sure, he's going to love you saying
that.
Yeah,
so I have it as well, but when he gets... Akpro tend to get most of his grief, didn't he? And
back in the glory days of our season tickets together in the lower in 2009.
He would almost wind himself up like an old car would have with a crankshaft. He'd go, right, it's coming. You know it's coming. It's either him or Colgan.
fingers crossed. everything crossed.
You sound so nervous. This is the playoffs. Come on, yeah, go enjoy it.
That's why I'm bloody nervous.
Henry, my friend, football is not a destination. You are never going to get to a point where you are the best and you'll be happy. It's a journey. Enjoy the journey.
I know how shit the journey was last year, so I want it to be different this year, please.
But you're the sort of pedantic prick that will then come back to me after we lose 3-0 to Forest Green to tell me exactly the same story. I'll be like, just shut up.
Oh, it's all about a journey. Fuck off.
I'll put you in a journey. St. George's Hospital.
Well, I mean, you were bloody saying before the playoffs, so I don't care how we win. I just want a bloody win.
I agree. And for the guy that emptied that bottle of water, he showed exactly what it was. And I think that keeper was a little bit slow off his line because he wasn't that well hydrated.
Yeah, okay.
We might do something on Wembley Way because we're going to meet up with quite a few mates. It's very annoying that we had an incredible chat about, was it Colombian drug lord hippos?
Oh, yes. Cocaine hippos. That was right.
And that stuff doesn't get broadcast. So I might bring it down. We hopefully will talk to you then. And then afterwards, we might be able
to... Hopefully, praying, we'll talk to you. We'll put the leash on.